Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer. An interesting and entertaining week in the WWE. Raw is quite good. SmackDown brings it in the third reel. 205 Live has a new GM and a new direction in some ways. NXT has a dusty classic. This is Shake Them Ropes 253. Let's take roll call. Rob McCarron.
Here.
Okay. Jeff Hawkins. That's me. I'm here. Alexa Bliss. Hey, guys. Okay. She's here. Rob, I'm going to position something for you. This is not a fantasy booking in any way.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
You're positive that it is not fantasy booking.
I don't care whether it happens or not. That's where fantasy booking ends for me, because that's – here we go.
Okay.
So I've watched this mixed match challenge thing.
Yes.
It is an utter and complete waste of my time.
So you're in love with
binge
it.
Watching it. It's beyond stupid in some ways.
What?
But NXT ran some intergender matches at house shows this week.
Okay.
Imagine this as the last shot of WrestleMania.
Uh-huh. I'm imagining. I'm trying to get in the mode of imagining.
Okay, here we go. Ronda Rousey taps out Triple H.
What?
Is there any chance of that with all this experimentation?
1.5.
Okay, we'll take that then. We'll start with the usual way. Best thing you saw on WWE this week.
The best thing I saw in WWE this week, maybe not even the best thing, but the most surprising thing. So yeah, I will say it was the best thing. Roderick Strong beat Hideo Itami.
In a very good match, I thought.
In a very good match, but one where I thought, okay, Roderick Strong is another NXT guy who's just going to come up to lose to Hideo Itami. Hideo Itami has been getting, now granted, he's had like 15 matches with Jack Gallagher and that's basically it. But the guy was being... He was the badass unbreakable guy. He was Asuka for 205 Live. It seemed like, and they just bring Roderick Strong up cold off of NXT television. The number one contender to the UK title already, by the way, now he's going for this cruiserweight title. I thought for sure Roderick Strong was coming up here to have a good match and lose. And Roderick Strong got the win, and he's immediately one of these favorites, I would say, to go to the finals of this Cruiserweight Championship Tournament.
And Itami's tweeting out some rather cryptic tweets after the match.
Hideo Itami seems like a guy who just wants to go home.
I would agree there. My favorite thing in WWE this week, or best thing I saw, big match, Bayley is back. I absolutely love that Asuka Bayley match.
Yeah, it was great.
I think the past 2 weeks in the women's division on Raw have been so fantastic. I think Charlotte and Becky should be going into offices and yelling at people because they okay. are.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a division in SmackDown that we've complained about for almost 6 to 8 months now, but including the character development of Nia, which is still going, the Elimination Chamber, which is going to make Sonya and Mandy higher caliber players here. And with Alexa Bliss,
You gotta start mentioning Alexa Bliss a little bit earlier than that. Alexa Bliss, when she left SmackDown, that's when the SmackDown women's title scene went to shit. And it's when the Raw scene was Charlotte and Sasha back and forth, nothing else. And then Alexa Bliss showed up. And now that Raw scene, and yes, Asuka's shown up. Nia Jax has been getting a lot of TV time. Sasha's still there. The Raw women's division is on fire. And they had half of Raw. And it was fantastic. Yeah.
And it's getting over with the crowd because both the Sasha match and the Bayley match. And look, Bayley,
people love Asuka too.
Yeah. They love Asuka, but they were cheering Bayley at some point, which has been a problem for her.
Right.
So maybe, you know, you move her back to SmackDown and she can continue this growth, or you continue the division like this. I did not mean to shade Alexa anyways. As a matter of fact, I need some help from the Shake Them Ropes quote-unquote universe, because I think we can make something go viral, Rob.
Oh, Oh, gross. I mean, it's cold and flu season. We shouldn't really be
here
making
we
things go.
Go
viral. Okay.
Hashtag don't diss the bliss.
Oh, no.
I want 5% of all royalties on that merchandise. I think, yes.
Is that going to be our first Shake Them Ropes t-shirt? Like, as I go back and forth, like, should I quit the show or should I do a Patreon? Should I quit the show or should I do a Patreon? Is the first t-shirt going to be hashtag don't diss the bliss? Is that where we're going to get our first cease and desist?
Really, it's going between Patreon or walking away. Huh?
Do I try to make money? Do I give up? Do I try to make money? Do I give up? Is WrestleMania going to be our last show or is it going to be our best show? So back and forth.
Are they going to continue this Braun Alexa thing on the main roster in any way, or is this going to just be kind of like Elseworlds WWE universe?
Mixed Match Challenge is in its own little universe. It really is. I mean, Mandy Rose is, you know, out of Absolution and teaming with Goldust on this show. And then on Raw, she's totally in Absolution and just doing her thing.
She's in Absolution because she came out to their
music. I mean, she's not out. You know what I mean, though. I mean, Sonya's not there. Paige isn't there. It's just her and Goldie hanging out, doing some tag team non-lucha things. Who won that match, by the way? Did you watch Mixed Match Challenge?
I did.
The Usos won,
Uso,
right?
Uso pinned Goldust.
Yeah, so, that was figured.
But the first 5 minutes are like talking and kind of like, ooh, the Usos get to kiss, so maybe now Goldust and Mandy can kiss. You know, it's that kind of stall, and they're all talking in the ring and you can hear them because they're playing it up for the Facebook cameras. It's cute if you like that sort of thing. I find it's for very, very casual fans only. But one more note on that Itami Roddy match. They got this kind of dead SmackDown crowd to cheer, which look, I have concerns still because there was a note this week that Vince McMahon is no longer at the reins of 205 Live, that it's going to be handed over to one Triple H.
Yeah.
I still don't think that's going to necessarily be the solution because you still have, I mean, as we noted last week, crowds for main roster shows are different than crowds for the, shall we say, work rate indie type of shows like NXT.
No.
So
the solution would be, and I guess they tried this with this 205 Live tour, is announce you're doing a TV taping, do a smaller venue, do it at Full Sail or whatever, tape 3 weeks at a time. Because if you're doing the whole gimmick of it's just all about the in-ring and we're not going to have these wacky storylines anymore, it's all about the in-ring, you can tape 3 hours worth. And air it. People will still watch for the same reason that they watch now. They just want to see these guys on TV.
I agree. Is it salvageable?
Is the show salvageable? Yeah, because I think the last 3 weeks have been excellent.
Yeah,
they've been
enjoyable. But is anybody watching? That's the question.
I don't know. I still think it does well because I mean, live is going to do better than these table for three type shows.
True.
So if they keep producing those, they might as well produce this. They're there in the arena. That's why they do it right now. Because if they had to do these separate shows where they tape separately from Raw or SmackDown, if they had to do another night in Full Sail, it would be a different story because now you're adding expense instead of just taping a show where you're already at. Mm. I mean, that's why they do it. Would I rather them do it before SmackDown and tape it instead of having it super live? Yes. I think everyone believes that it would be better if it was done before SmackDown instead of afterwards, when you're hoping that the crowd stays and stays hot just to see another AJ Styles match at the end of the night, especially after he's worked. And there was that time for like 4 months where AJ worked maybe two matches on SmackDown because they were saving his matches for the dark match at the end to try and get people to stay hot for 205 Live. You can't do that. You got to have AJ wrestle. So yes, there are solutions. Is Triple H running the show the solution? No, it's a solution. It's part of it. It's been better the last 3 weeks. Drake Maverick is out there. Great. What he was doing on Raw was fantastic. You have this Roderick Strong Hideo with Tommy match. You got Kalisto and Lince Dorado having the best match they've had.
Yeah, that was very good. I like that a lot too.
And then there's also mystery. So what have we had now? We've had what, 12 of the 16 wrestle so far? No, it's only been four. We had four last night, four the first night. So it's only been eight. 8 of the 16 men in this tournament have been revealed. And you don't have a lot left. You have Tony Nese, Jack Gallagher. What do we got? Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali. Has Mustafa Ali wrestled in this tournament yet? I don't think so, right?
No, not yet.
I mean, there's going to be one or two more little surprises.
Oh, you missed one. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Okay, yeah. We have we also have Tozawa and Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews are next. So there's one of your little surprises is Mandrews coming back. You had Tyler Bate in this thing. I could very well see one more guy from NXT. One Mr. Jonathan Gargano.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I don't know if it's probable, but I think it's possible.
I think it's possible. Maybe it's one of those last first round matches. Maybe possible. Yeah, I don't know. It just depends on what they're doing with NXT and the whole TV storyline that's going to unfold the next couple of weeks. Did you watch NXT tonight?
Yes, I did.
Big takeaways from NXT TV before we get to the big main roster stuff.
how much in mourning are you over the Tino Riddick soon to be breakup?
Oh, I'm not mourning at all. Tino needs to fly solo.
he's not even gonna be the star of that group, I don't think. I think it's gonna be Riddick, probably.
No, it's not. It's really not. Dude, I watched Riddick Moss go 10 minutes with Chad Gable 2 years ago in the dark match before Chad Gable even debuted on NXT television, and you could tell Chad Gable was the star. What does that say? 2 years ago, before Chad Gable got his personality, you could tell he was the star.
My serious takeaways. I think Bianca Belair has something, and I've been saying that since the Mae Young Classic.
Should the Ember Moon types and the Aaliyah types and even the Lacey Evans, maybe, should those types be worried that this Bianca Belair is coming and her star is rising super, super quick?
I don't know, because she's a different kind of. To me, they're not going to bring her up instead of an Ember Moon or a Lacey Evans. If they're going for type, they're going to bring her up when, say, a Naomi goes down.
Okay. Or
they're going to bring her up to Raw. And yeah. I mean, no, everybody has their own niche in NXT. The good thing about the women's wrestlers is they're all kind of a little bit different in each and every way in terms of look, in terms of packaging, in terms of what they can do. So it just depends on, I mean, the NXT right now has a glut of women who you could bring up to the main roster at any point, including Shayna, Ember Moon, Lacey Evans, the iconic duo, Kairi Sane. You have a deep roster of women there. So there's nobody whose lane is being taken at any time. It just depends on what their proclivities are.
It's just the main roster spots are the spots on the main roster for the women's division are starting to get a little bit fewer. We have a pretty packed division on the Raw side. We have an okay-ish division on the SmackDown side that could probably use a few more good names in it. Mm-hmm. But they're getting fewer. I mean, they just brought up 6, you know, in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And if Belair comes up here and just impresses the right people.
I don't think she's there yet. I just said, I think she's about a year away from coming up.
All right.
She's not that close. Let's put that. Yeah. And let's, I mean,
will Nikki Cross ever win the NXT Women's Championship?
Yeah. You know what? You could have just called the Riot Squad Women in Shirts and it would still be the same thing because they've done absolutely nothing for character development since they've debuted.
Maybe a little bit for Ruby, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Ruby has a little bit of an edge to her. Liv is just Harley Quinn. It seems like that's what they want her to go for. Is just the crazy pigtailed blonde who's running around just causing havoc. But you don't know. You don't know what she's doing.
That match with Charlotte left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, and if Sarah Logan could enunciate, we might know a little bit of a character for her.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was a little bit surprised at the Roderick Strong victory. Not so surprised at the Kalisto victory.
And the other takeaway from NXT. Yeah. I loved that 6-man tornado brawl. That was Sanity and the Undisputed Era can fight all they want because I thought that was fantastic.
Fight all they want. I am stunned that Eric Young is still around. I will say that. I mean, and he's thriving in this Sanity group. Go figure.
Yeah, he makes a good player coach for down there. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want him to be brought up to the main roster necessarily. Oh, I think they'll probably end up bringing up the other two and putting them with Bray Wyatt at some point. But
could Eric Young be the final mystery entry in the Cruiserweight tournament?
That wouldn't be too bad either.
Raw kicked off kind of interesting this week.
I loved it. I did. I thought that presentation, I thought the promos into the camera were great. Well, not framing the show like that. I thought that was really, really strong.
Not just the promos into the camera to start off. I mean, they opened Raw with Roman Reigns on screen.
Mm-hmm.
They just opened it. Like, here's Roman Reigns. Here's Bray Wyatt. We're going to get a video package. And then all of a sudden, before you ever hear Michael Cole's voice, you get the entrances for Reigns and Bray Wyatt to start the match. A good, 3 or 4 minutes between promos and videos, and we get these two coming to the ring for what was not a bad match. I mean, especially once they got going with the finishers. I mean, Roman Reigns just brought out a great match in Bray Wyatt. It's time, if you have not yet already, folks out there, to give Roman Reigns his due. This guy, we talk about the NXT MVPs being Johnny Gargano and Andrade Almas. Sometimes you don't get the credit you deserve, especially in Almas's case. It's taken about a year and a half for him to get that credit. Roman Reigns is one of the workhorse MVPs on Raw.
This is definitely a stronger start than the 20-minute promo along with videos of what happened last week. I liked this a lot. I thought this Raw show over-delivered in so many ways. I was expecting them to kind of phone it in because they were in Iowa, but they did not.
But they just kept wrestling, too. They just kept... Yeah. They gave Iowa a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
And there was little in the way of storyline outside of the Jason Jordan stuff, where it seems like Jason Jordan has finally been sent home. And they just gave you wrestling matches. They gave you multiple women's division segments in really good matches. They gave you the Bray Wyatt Roman Reigns opener. I mean, you had Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns going 15 minutes to open the show. Roman Reigns won. He gets into the Elimination Chamber match. You had what was weird to me, too, was the second segment between Finn Balor and Karl Anderson versus the Revival. Like, I don't know why they had to use the extra 2 minutes of TV time to turn this from a singles match to a tag team match instead of just starting it as a tag team match. Was the idea that, hey, we want to put over that the Revival are a tag team and that they will not do singles?
I am angry. That's the one segment that did not work for me. As you know, I lobby hard for the Revival, and I think it would be a great gimmick if you had a tag team that were tag team specialists that lose if they are in singles matches, or at least are not as good as they are as a team. I think that is an interesting path to go. It's kind of like how they kind of did the Midnight Express in the mid to late 80s in the NWA. So that I found interesting. I think it was just to get heat to turn it into a tag match. And, Finn is at the disadvantage because he doesn't usually tag with the Good Brothers. So how are they going to work out? And then they just beat him. That to me did not work at all. I understand that they're probably, once again, I think I called this last week. I think Miz and Finn are probably both going into the Elimination Chamber. But
what it looks like.
But I would not be totally blown away if Apollo Crews, based on his performance against The Miz, gets the call and they just find a way to get Finn out of there without having him lose.
Hmm. I mean, that's what it seems to me that I don't expect Apollo Crews to go in. I really don't.
No, I don't expect it either, but it wouldn't be the most shocking thing given that they're randomly building up people on this Raw. Occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, count me as one of those who really didn't get the Revival segment. Cause I mean, you make a good point that they may have been going for, like, in their minds, they were thinking, okay, we're going to get a little heat towards the Revival and make it seem like Finn is at a disadvantage here, when I never saw that at all. I didn't get that storyline. I just like, okay, the Revival, they're a tag team. They want to do tag team matches and that's all they want to do. But then at the end of the day, they're not a good tag team. They keep losing to guys who aren't tag teams.
Well, that's the whole story is they want to be a tag team, but this was a singles match. Oh, this isn't fair. They're just changing the match right then.
Well, it seems like it was
fair
enough.
They can't do that. How dare they? Boo. Boo those bad guys.
Right.
Boo them.
Yeah. Boo them. Boo them. As we move on, I want to remind everyone out there that buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get your tickets to every type of live event, whether it's WrestleMania coming up, whether it's Major League Baseball season as we kick that off in just a few weeks, whether it's NFL, whether it's college, anything out there, if you want to get the right ticket for the right price, you have to have SeatGeek. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. I have the SeatGeek app on my iPhone. You can get it on your iOS or Android. It is by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find the seats that I want. I used SeatGeek to buy our Royal Rumble tickets earlier, and now you can download SeatGeek and save, because best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase on iOS, Android, your tablet, wherever you can find SeatGeek. Download it from your app store right now. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code STR. That's promo code STR for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download SeatGeek today. Save $20 with promo code STR. Download it today and enjoy your events with SeatGeek. A non-funny note, just a non-whatever. This was the second straight week where WWE ran a building named for Wells Fargo. They went from Philadelphia's Wells Fargo Center to Iowa's, to Des Moines, Iowa's Wells Fargo Arena. They got Wells Fargo getting a lot of WWE pub time in the TV world this last couple of weeks.
Well, they're not the only one with double branding, because the American Airlines has two arenas.
They go places. Yeah. When's the last time they ran two straight weeks in different buildings with the same naming rights? I wonder. That's something to get Mookie on.
Yeah, take that, stat boy.
Take that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, don't take that. I mean, yeah, help us out a little bit. That's all. throughout Raw, there was a storyline about Jason Jordan, Seth Rollins, Kurt Angle. Jason Jordan was hurt. He's still hurt. He's been hurt for a while. I can't believe they had him wrestle that Royal Rumble match. I know he didn't really do much, but I mean, I can't believe they sent him out there. Apparently, if it's bad enough to where he has to be taken off TV. But anyway, he was hurt. He couldn't go tonight or on Raw. It was Seth Rollins' last chance at the tag team titles from the bar. So Seth Rollins had to find a new partner. It was Roman Reigns, who already wrestled earlier that night. Jason Jordan comes out during the match, gets involved. But here's the thing. A lot of people quick to jump on the Jason Jordan storyline, like they're really playing this guy to be an idiot, blah, blah, blah. He's costing Seth Rollins. They're trying to get heat on Jason Jordan for an eventual Jason Jordan Seth Rollins match. What did you think about the Jason Jordan coming out to cause a disqualification and causing Seth Rollins no more chances at the tag team titles?
I think Seth is coming off as a bit of a jerk by yelling at him for defending himself. That was my first impression.
So if you didn't watch Raw, the bar were getting thoroughly beaten up. It was a pretty good match. It was Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins versus the bar. The bar were getting beaten up. They take their titles. They start walking off. Jason Jordan is down at ringside towards the tail end of this match. He tries to stop the bar from walking off. Well, the bar's going to walk off with their tag team titles. If Jason Jordan's not there, they're walking out. It doesn't matter if Jason Jordan is there or not. Seth Rollins isn't getting the win. But Jason Jordan is there. Jason Jordan's getting bullied, if you will, by Sheamus and Cesaro. They come after him. He defends himself. He starts fighting. The ref calls for the bell. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns put the onus all on Jason Jordan. Like, hey, it's your fucking fault, asshole, that we didn't get these tag team titles. When in actuality, if Jason Jordan wasn't there, the bar was just going to walk off. They weren't getting the tag team titles anyway. Why are you so pissed at Jason Jordan?
Yeah, exactly. I don't get that either, but
it was a flawed idea to try and put heat on the Jordan Seth Rollins thing. Because if you just look at it, it's like Jason Jordan, if he wasn't there, the result's still the same. Seth Rollins doesn't win.
Yeah, the heat is on. We told you to stay in the back and you came out anyways. And that just doesn't make sense if they're going to be running away. It's not like you didn't see Roman jumping out of the ring there and chasing after him. No, he was in the ring waiting. So waiting for the
count out to happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
It played against itself a bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it played itself a little bit. What else do we have?
I'm a bit worried about this Jason Jordan thing, because the wording minimally invasive surgery.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with the neck, ain't no such thing as minimal anything.
Yeah.
Okay?
When you go in there, you're
he
in
may
there.
Not, he may not come back.
Oh, he'll come back. It might be a while.
He can come back, but this is the same kind of problem that both Paul Orndorff and Arn Anderson kind of had. And these things can heal funny, or if you take bumps on surgically repaired things, they are weaker than once they started. They don't, you don't heal and get, make them stronger. They're still weaker once you've rehabbed everything back. So, I mean, I would be a bit concerned, and you should be for a guy like Jordan. I'm also kind of curious as where this puts Rollins in the WrestleMania card.
Very interesting for Rollins, because I have to imagine they're still holding out hope for Rollins versus Jordan for that show.
He can't be ready by WrestleMania. That's not how long is he supposed to be out?
I mean, if it's minimally invasive, I mean, are they expecting him to miss 8 weeks?
It's his neck.
I know. What if they were just removing a cyst? I mean, I know they weren't. I know they weren't. I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we've gotten a timetable yet.
They'll keep them out for safety reasons.
I don't think we've gotten a timetable yet. I don't know. Because what else does Seth Rollins do? I mean, maybe they find a way to work him in. If they feel like Jason Jordan is definitely not going, maybe next week we get Seth Rollins in that four-way match and then it becomes a five-way and maybe he's in the world title chamber.
That's a possibility. It's also possible he becomes the main babyface going after the secondary belt on Raw.
Yeah. It very well could be that. And if you want to keep the Elias John Cena thing going, maybe you finish Elias and John Cena and you have Seth Rollins and John Cena at WrestleMania. Maybe you have Seth Rollins and Elias. You know, Samoa Joe's out too. There's missing pieces. There's a lot of different directions you can go. And we don't really have a set direction for WrestleMania yet. We know Brock Lesnar is going to defend the title against the Chamber winner, and that's it. We know Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles on the SmackDown side. We know you're going to have other championship matches, but we don't know what else is going on. We don't even know if there's going to be some type of ladder match. Are we going to have a ladder match for the Cruiserweight Championship at the end? Like, is that the final of the tournament? We don't know. We don't know a lot for WrestleMania. It seems weird, too, because we're headed in the middle of February. We usually know a little bit about what's going on.
I kind of like it. I like the mystery.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I like not knowing exactly what John Cena is going to do. Is The Undertaker coming back? Is John Cena versus Elias going to happen? Is he going to be thrown onto something on SmackDown? Is it going to be John Cena, Dolph Ziggler? I have no idea what's happening. It's an exciting time. And you got two pay-per-views in between. Coming right back to back here in 3 weeks, I believe. We have the Fastlane pay-per-view coming right after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Elimination Chamber happening close by. Is it Pittsburgh? I don't even know where it's happening.
No, it's Vegas.
Oh, it is Vegas for the Elimination Chamber. Where's Fastlane at?
Ohio, Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio, maybe.
Columbus, yeah.
Ohio for Fastlane. Yeah, you can get a lot of stuff happening in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow, do not denigrate the great city of Columbus, Ohio.
Notre Dame can't even get a house show.
It's still better than Dayton.
It is better than Dayton. I would agree. Some of the best ROH shows I ever saw were in Dayton, though.
Went to Dayton once, and I never want to go back.
Yeah.
I went for the NCAA tournament 1 year.
Oh, and, that's right. They got the Dayton Flyers. They do the first four, also known as the first round.
Oh, now they do, yeah. But this is back when I was young and had dreams.
Oh, no.
No, the Elimination Chamber for the women is interesting to me because they have kind of three parallel stories of the same theme in terms of, six women, but three pairs of women who are all allied with each other in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you have, let's go over the entrance for that, shall we? Have the aforementioned friend of the show, Alexa Bliss. You have Mickie James, Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. Those are your six entrants into the Elimination Chamber. No Nia Jax, because it was announced that also at Elimination Chamber, we will have Nia Jax versus Asuka. If Nia wins, she is included in the WrestleMania Women's Championship match. So I guess we got our answer. Asuka is challenging the Raw champion.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? But it's not necessarily set in stone.
Swerve, if you will. I think they just decided, you know what? We don't really need to build up her choice. We're going to go ahead and just do the Raw match. And the SmackDown side can decide what they're going to do.
Okay. I still think there's a chance we get Asuka Charlotte. But it's interesting. I was thinking about this because after Bayley's really good performance, you know something's going to happen between them and Sasha. Who does Mandy Rose pin? Because she's getting at least one pinfall in this match, correct?
She's absolutely getting at least one pinfall.
Yes.
She pins Bayley. Bayley's the first one out.
Right.
Bayley's the first one out.
I don't think Bayley's the first one out. I think Sonya may be the first one out.
Okay, well, I don't. I believe whoever ends up winning that thing. Well, Alexa Bliss has to win, right?
No. Really? She doesn't have to win. Let me throw something else at you. Nia loses to Asuka and somehow attacks Mickie James and enters the chamber.
Maybe.
Okay.
I think they do the women's chamber first, though, before that match. I believe the women's chamber happens first and the men's chamber main events. So
okay.
You do the women's chamber first.
What do you think of the proposed that Alexa blows the match for Nia against Asuka?
I don't believe that's happening either. I think both matches will actually be independent. I think Asuka's going to beat Nia. And then in the women's one, I will do a full preview on this show, but I can see a number of different things happening. I can find some way that Alexa wins, just, you know, banana peel type deal. I can see a new champion too. What if Sasha Banks does win and it's Sasha Banks Asuka and they go full on like heel Sasha versus babyface Asuka?
No, I think pre-show is getting Sasha Bayley. I think they're going in that direction. Okay. I still think Asuka or not Asuka, but I think, I do think that they let, Alexa have her moment at WrestleMania as champ.
They should. I mean, she's done a great job not being in the ring. She's done a great job, you know, on camera and on the microphone. So have the Asuka match and there you go. And then you have plenty of matches for Asuka later on. You have the Bayley match for the title. You have a Sasha Banks match for the title. You have Nia Jax rematch. You know, there's plenty of different ways you can go. You can have a long Asuka women's championship reign. That would be very interesting.
With good wrestling to boot. Yeah. That to me is the important part. It's continuing to build this division, not just as a personality division, but as one where the women can go just as hard as the men and get the crowd behind them.
Better.
Because that was, and that was part of the problem in this whole thing when they belted Alexa, and you know they kind of alluded, you haven't defended your title since October. There's a reason for that, and it's time for everybody to step up their game a little bit here, because I think the last 2 weeks with the Asuka matches against Sasha and Bayley, that generation of women right there is saying, well, you know what, we're not ready to be set aside just yet. I'm hoping Charlotte and Becky do the same thing on the other side, because boy, I'd love to cut out some dead weight on that SmackDown women's division, bring up some of these NXT women and really give that thing a boost.
The Miz defeated Apollo Crews to get into the Elimination Chamber match. Pretty short match. The Miz is in. That surprised me a little bit. I don't know what you're going to do to fill out the entire Elimination Chamber card. I thought for sure we would get some type of Intercontinental Championship match, but no. He is going to be in the main event match, and Apollo Crews gets sent to the final four. We have five entrants into the Elimination Chamber number one contendership match. We have the final four being Finn Balor, Apollo Crews, Bray Wyatt, and Matt Hardy, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that final four, whoever wins that four-way next week on Raw becomes the sixth entrant into the Elimination Chamber match.
Let me posit something to you.
Sure.
This was Apollo Crews' best match on either NXT or the main roster.
I can't think of one that was too much better. I mean, I know his match against Ty Dillinger in his debut was interesting, but I don't think it was anything to write home about. I can't remember anything else he's really done. Didn't he have a match against Samoa Joe? I can't remember what it was. Maybe it wasn't that great.
I think he may have had an NXT match that may have been slightly better.
I want to say he wrestled on Raw against Samoa Joe too at some point. Maybe I'm totally off base there. I mean, nothing that was super noteworthy. I don't even know if this match was super noteworthy. We haven't had a noteworthy Apollo Crews match yet, period.
I might have been swayed by the crowd actually getting behind him, which I found surprising.
Well, that's another thing where you have The Miz in there. People are interested in what The Miz is doing.
They are, but there's a problem with their heels in many ways, in that they do babyface things for crowd reactions, and then they go back to being heels. We saw it with Aiden English on SmackDown with the Rusev Day intro where he wants them to all say Rusev Day and then he trashes Kansas City.
Yeah.
You have it with Miz where he's doing Welcome to the Must See. Welcome to Ms. TV. Ms. TV, you know, Elias with the Who Wants to Walk with Elias, and WWE stands for Walks with Elias. And then they decide to start playing heel a bit. And it's a little bit too entertainment centric, showmanship centric. You don't really buy into disliking the guy because they're getting crowd pops. So there's a problem there, I think.
All right. A problem there, he says. The main event of Raw was John Cena versus Braun Strowman versus Elias. These three already in the Elimination Chamber match. This match was to see who comes out last, because if you are the last entrant in the chamber, you have a better chance to win than if you are a earlier entrant in the chamber. That's how they sold it. And Elias pinned Mr. John Cena.
Okay, he's still not winning the chamber. There's no way he's Elias
not winning the, no, he's not. Roman Reigns is winning the chamber match. Let's be real. They're doing Brock and Roman, right? We're not wavering from that, are we?
The only change I could possibly see is if they make it Braun and Brock. And they stick Roman, and then they do Roman and Seth in some sort of program together.
Roman and Seth in a four-way tag team championship match on the pre-show.
No, let's not push it.
Let's not push it. No, I think Roman Reigns is winning. I think we're getting John Cena and Elias. We'll get a continuation of John Cena and Elias in the chamber. I think that's your singles match. And honestly, I know it's John Cena. If I had to bet money on one match at WrestleMania, it certainly wouldn't be the John Cena Elias match, because I bet Elias has a 30% chance at least of winning that one. They do a singles match at WrestleMania.
They're not doing a one-on-one match at WrestleMania.
Oh, I think they are, man. I think that's the idea. Oh, I think John Cena versus Elias. They have John Cena throughout Elias at the Royal Rumble. You'll have Elias somehow cause the elimination of John Cena at the chamber. They'll go back and forth still a couple of weeks, maybe some physical altercations, and then one-on-one, Elias versus John Cena. And if John Cena loses, he has to walk with Elias.
Oh, kind of like when he lost to the Nexus, he had to join the Nexus?
He has to walk with Elias. And then you get a couple of weeks on TV of John Cena walking with Elias, being his guitar holder.
He has to be his roadie for a month. Oh, geez.
That's right. The Drifter. John Cena. This would be one hell of an NXT gimmick. I don't know. I think that's what they're doing. If the plan was John Cena, Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe ain't happening, then you got to have some match for John Cena. He's going to have a singles match at WrestleMania. If he's around for WrestleMania, he's got to have a singles match. Who else is going to wrestle? If The Undertaker isn't coming back, it's going to be Elias. And if The Undertaker comes back, there you go. It's The Undertaker. Because there's no other match for Undertaker right now than John Cena. Well, there you go. That's your WrestleMania card, everybody. What do you make of Elias coming out last, though? Does that take some of the, that's one less mystery pod. I guess when you get down to the end, it's never a mystery. There's only one more guy in there, but it does take one less mystery pod out of there, because you know who's going to be second to last, because it won't be Elias. Like, does that take some of the sting out of this match for you?
Elias being in the match takes some of the sting out
for me,
because I like him. I just don't view him as a guy that they'd ever seriously put the belt on.
Oh, dude.
So,
dude.
Yet.
He's getting the world title one day. Baron Corbin's still getting the world title one day. He's the
honky tonk man right now.
What, Elias?
Yeah, he's just bigger.
No, Elias is Macho Man.
I like him. Don't get me wrong. I just he hasn't built up a big winning streak with impressive matches yet where I think he has a chance of winning this thing. He's thrown in there to be thrown around, in my opinion.
Elias was the biggest star in this main event.
Okay.
John Cena, your time is up. Braun Strowman, Kane's going to take you down to size one day. Is he? Is Kane ever coming back? Is Kane dead?
He may come through the chambering. Oh, Braun out, I guess.
He may. Oh, Braun versus Kane at WrestleMania. Could you do a Buried Alive match, an Inferno match?
Sure.
Are they going to do that at WrestleMania? Oh, people would be so disappointed. People want to see a great Braun Strowman, just destruction. and they're going to get a buried alive match between him and Kane.
Yeah, but that's a guy he can destroy as opposed to putting him in a mixed tag, say, with Ronda Rousey against Triple H and Stephanie.
But you know they wouldn't. I mean, he's the near falls in a buried alive match is the one big laboring guy throwing the other big laboring guy into the pit and somehow getting out before you're buried. You're going to see Braun Strowman go into the pit.
Or you get like a New Orleans street fight and you just have vignettes all over like Bourbon Street and stuff. I don't know. I'm just going to let it play. I'm not going to worry about it, Rob.
Go ahead and put it on Facebook or Reddit or your favorite message board. Shake Them Ropes announces, breaks the news, confirms Kane versus Braun in a buried alive match at WrestleMania. And then go ahead and see the follow-ups to that where everyone asks, who? What? I'm telling you. Buried Alive. I don't know. When's the last time they did a Buried Alive match? Was it in the 2000s? Was it 2001?
Wasn't it that Mankind Undertaker one? Or is there another one?
No, I mean, we did. There was a Buried Alive match, I think, that the Shield helped out with. Remember? They helped bury Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like it'd been a while. I want to say there was one with Paul Bearer at some point, too, in the mid-2000s, late 2000s, when the Dudley Boys were a SmackDown main event act. Now they're going into the WWE Hall of Fame because of that run. Dudley Boys, Goldberg. This is a good Hall of Fame class, actually. I mean, it's going to be interesting speeches.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see who they put on the legend side in terms of actual legends that didn't make their name in WWE.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know it looks like Ivory might be one of these that come in to go into the Hall of Fame.
I'm hoping for the Midnight Express. That's what I'm going to say.
Don't think you're going to get that one.
Okay.
You never know. I mean, they're back in the WWE fold. They were on that house show, Starrcade. You remember Starrcade, right? The big network special event, Starrcade.
Midnight Express wasn't on that. That was the Rock and Roll Express. They got into the Hall of Fame last year.
That's what I was thinking of. Oh, Midnight Express has to go in. Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah.
Okay.
I can confirm that one, too. Go ahead and put that on the blogs. Rob McCarron confirms. Midnight Express not going to be there. Boom, boom, boom. NXT 205 Live. These shows are popping. You got Ricochet, Trevor Mann debuting in a few weeks on WWE TV. WWE ran an article about how Triple H is so excited for everyone to see the debut of Trevor Mann. They announced that it's coming soon. This isn't a spoiler. WWE promotes this now, and you'll see promotion of it probably on NXT TV that Trevor Mann is debuting. What else from the big news of the week? That was Raw. Anything on SmackDown you really want to get to outside of how ridiculous this top 10 list is? And not because of who's on the list, but the fact they're doing it all together. Like, what? And will people stop putting Ty Dillinger at number 10 on things just because his whole gimmick is the 10? Will you stop already?
Oh, this top 10 is dreadful. It will die in 2 weeks, I think.
I mean, it seems like it was pretty clear, right, when they announced this, that this is all a gimmick against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but at the same time, Daniel Bryan's the one delivering it when Daniel Bryan's the one who's supposed to be on Owens and Zayn's side.
It's so funny because I thought the entire time that he was living vicariously through Sami and Kevin, and now they're trying to bring that up as a question. It's like they haven't clarified anything in 3 months of this entire feud.
And why would he live vicariously through Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? Why are they the guy? Why not AJ? AJ's the champion. AJ's the most like Daniel Bryan.
No, not exactly.
He's the most like Daniel Bryan.
No.
100% the most like Daniel Bryan. This guy was on the indies forever, always deemed too small to be a huge main eventer. It's Daniel Bryan.
TNA not considered an indie.
Sure shit is now.
Yes, now it is. No, there are just so many confusing things about SmackDown right now when it used to be the most fun show to watch. And I think a lot of that charm went away when they canceled Talking Smack. They're still doing the dumb graphics. Chad Gable's doing bad comedy. Oh, I'll tell you what was great. Rick Victor's hot tag was awesome. I don't care. I love the Ascension this week. They finally had a halfway decent match on this roster, though they got beat.
Connor looked a little bit surprised that they were actually in the ring.
Yeah.
Like what is this? What do we do here? Where are we? But Rick Victor, got the hot tag that no one was really caring for, which was funny. And not only does he get the hot tag, he goes ape shit on everybody. And then, yeah, Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable just get the win.
Yeah, but I am kind of looking forward to that Bludgeon Brothers feud. I think that's going to be pretty good. I was a little surprised that they did not do a face turn for Rusev this week and put the belt on him. I really am. I thought that was a possibility in there.
Yeah, but
again, we already went over this. As soon as they healed on Kansas City, I knew, okay, he's getting beat here.
He's getting beat, but also the pop for that Bobby Roode win. I mean, Bobby, you were worried last week about will the crowd turn on Bobby Roode because Rusev is so popular. The crowd likes Bobby Roode, man. They like
him. That's a pretty solid match, entrance. I thought, too.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Nothing wrong with Bobby Roode. I mean, Bobby Roode is, breath of fresh air. Imagine if this guy wasn't around, how these SmackDown shows would be right now. Who would be the U.S. champion? Probably still Dolph Ziggler. Maybe Baron Corbin.
And I think it goes without saying you could watch Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens matches until the end of time and probably never be bored.
It is truly amazing because Kevin Owens in WWE so far has disappointed in every single match he's had except for Sami Zayn and John Cena.
Whoa. Really?
Every single match. The match with Goldberg was nothing because it was super quick. The matches with AJ suck. The matches with Chris Jericho suck. Name another big feud that Kevin Owens has been involved in the WWE side. Not in NXT, but the WWE side. What's this big, great Kevin Owens match or feud?
No, you have a point.
I love Kevin Owens. But this guy has amazing stuff with John Cena and Sami Zayn. And then you hope that he could bring that with a guy like AJ Styles. You hope he can bring that with a guy like Chris Jericho. And they just don't mesh. Some guys, you can be two great wrestlers and not have a great match. That's the sign of, and not to be, oh my God, Rob McCarron's gone off the deep end when he says this, but Roman Reigns has good matches with everybody.
Hold on, post that on Reddit.
post that on Reddit. Rob McCarron's gone crazy. Roman Reigns has good matches with everybody. AJ Styles has good matches with everybody, except Kevin Owens. There's certain guys that just get it with everybody. And the WWE style is so perfect for Roman Reigns that he just gets it with everybody. When's Roman Reigns had a bad match?
He's had lackluster matches.
Name all of them. Name all of them in order and give me the date and the show it was on, or else I don't take your point.
No Mercy, I seem to recall, he was pretty lackluster.
Wow. You threw me a No Mercy reference. Wow. Whew. No Mercy.
I was there live. That's what I was trying to.
Was that the new? You were at No Mercy Live? Was that in Staples?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought No Mercy was that one in Sacramento with a new arena. What was it, the Golden Nugget Arena or something like that? The Golden One?
No.
I don't know. Sacramento. I wasn't dissing Sacramento there. Don't worry.
I was wrong. It looks like, Roman Reigns defeated John Cena in a singles match, 22 minutes. I can't remember that, but maybe it was okay.
Yeah.
Since John was in it.
So let's get some clarity on this Jason Jordan injury. Jeff Hawkins is reporting that his career is over.
I am not.